Today, President Obama seemed to launch a chorus of calls from France, Britain, Germany, the European Union, for Syria's President Assad to step down. The calls were followed by a televised statement from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
People of Syria deserve a government that respects their dignity, protects their rights, and lives up to their aspirations. Assad is standing in their way.
Clinton also announced new sanctions against Syria, all of this after 5 months of anti-government protests and a government crackdown that has allegedly killed over 1,800 civilians and today, a UN report said, should be referred to the International Criminal Court for trial. Borzu Daragahi is Beirut bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times. Borzu, what effect have these calls to Bashar Assad had? Do we even know?
We have a pretty good sense on the part of the government, the regime. I don't think it's going to have any effect on their behavior. They view themselves as in a existential battle. They see this protest movement that has erupted as a terminal threat, not just to the regime, but to the Alawite community, especially the branch of the Alawite community headed by Bashar al-Assad, that dominates Syria. And so they don't see a, you know, peaceful transition. It's not like they're going to step aside and run for elections or something like that. And they don't even have any great prospects for exile. They'd have to go to Iran. And I don't think Bashar al-Assad's glamorous wife looks forward to a life of wearing the hijab every day.
And but what about the people in the street? Let's just pick up there. I mean, are you hearing from any of your sources? Do they know that these calls have been made?
I think that people are watching this. I think from the activists that I've talked to, they said it's a good step in the right direction. But why did it take so long, I've been hearing? And we have suffered so much at this point. And they're also having doubts that it will have much of an effect on the Syrian regime's behavior. But according to analysts and diplomats that I've spoken to, Western diplomats who've been putting together some of these sanctions, there's a belief that this kind of concerted international action could affect the calculations of the second and third tier of those in power and possibly get them to turn against Bashar al-Assad, thinking that there is really no future with this guy.
Yeah. Something that has happened in Libya, and many are making the comparison to Libya, where Muammar Gaddafi is still holed up, but rebels there seem to be making some headway. And as to the question, why did it take so long, we have at least a partial answer. We know because of reports that the Obama administration wanted to make this announcement last week, but postponed it largely because Turkey asked them to. Turkish officials felt that they could talk Assad into some kind of reform, but Turkey gave that up. And so we heard all of these calls today. And it sounds as if Hillary Clinton's concerns that it appeared to be the U.S. calling for him to step down, that would be a mistake, that there's been some response from other countries. There was this massive call, as I said, between 9 and 10 o'clock this morning. So it sounds as if there was a lot of working behind the scenes to get other countries to stand up as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is when I talk to U.S. officials here, and this has been the sort of modus operandi of the Obama administration. They don't want to be the only country out there calling for Bashar al-Assad to step aside, calling for regime change, so to speak. And so they've been working very hard behind the scenes for months. I know for a fact that it's been like 2 months, maybe more, that the U.S. has wanted to do this. They waited, they cajoled, they negotiated, and today was the end result.
But what happens from here, Borzu? Because I mentioned Libya. As one looks at Libya, you know, just this stalemate there, what's the thinking might happen in Syria?
Well, Libya is a very different situation. You had a armed group of civilians who had established a transitional national government, and they went to the Arab League, they went to the Gulf Cooperation Council, they went to the international community, and they said, please come and help us. Here you don't have anything like that. You have like a scattered group of dissidents abroad and perhaps even more scattered various groups of activists inside the country. And all of them, if there's anything they can say, is, you know, don't interfere. for God's sake, don't help this guy, but, you know, this is our battle and stay out of it. So I don't think it's going to go in the direction of Libya.
And no one is talking about intervening. But there have been these sanctions, among them freezing Syrian government assets in the U.S., prohibiting U.S. transactions relating to Syrians, you know, oil products. Now, Syria doesn't supply a lot of oil to the U.S., but does to countries in Europe. But we've also been watching this morning, but we've also been watching today another story, which is the gyrations on Wall Street here in the U.S. At one point, the Dow Jones falling by 500 points. Is there a concern that Syria needs to be stabilized because of all this economic unrest around the world?
You know, Syria is extremely isolated economically, and it's only been in like the past 9 or 10 years that they've started to sort of dismantle a very kind of creaky old Soviet socialist style system. So I don't think that's really a concern. But I think that one of the sanctions that Obama mentioned today in his announcement was that, you know, any U.S. citizens are prevented from doing any kind of new business with Syria. That's pretty important. You know, there's a huge Syrian expat community in the U.S., and there's a big Syrian expat community in Europe. And if those people are unable to do business with Syria, that's going to have a big impact.
So, Borzoi, what happens now? I mean, I'm not asking you to look at tea leaves, but here is President Assad once thought, hopes that he would be a reformer. Then this crackdown, and as you said, this existential view from the government. So it doesn't seem as if they'd pack up their bags and say, you know, you're right, there should be a democracy here. What is the sense of what happens next?
You know, I'm not a prophet, but, you know, I'm looking at the trend lines. Things look very ugly and very scary. I think that the protest movement in the country has taken on a sort of religious fervor. And I'm not saying that they're Islamic fundamentalists. It's not about extremist religion, but it's just that the number of people who've died, the fact that everyone, all of these activists, has watched their, you know, relatives and neighbors and cousins be, you know, gunned down in the street, the sort of sense of determination on their part that if they stop, everything will have been lost and everything will have been lost in vain. And then on the other side, you have this government that sees this movement as a massive threat to a whole community. And so, you know, there's no possibly good end game that I can see. I think it's just going to be a very bloody, very messy end to a very bloody and very, very messy regime.
Borzoi Dargahi, Beirut Bureau Chief of the Los Angeles Times. You can reach him at Twitter / Borzoi. We'll have that at hearandnow.org. Borzoi, thanks.
It's been a pleasure.